Good morning, everybody. It's a real pleasure to be here, and I'd like to thank the organizers for putting together this fantastic venue and giving us the opportunity to present. I'd like to acknowledge Peter Gleeson, who is the Executive Chairman of BQE Water. He's here with me today. And also Barbara, our marketing specialist, who helped prepare the presentation. BQE Water, I have to go through this disclaimer, forward-looking statement disclaimers. BQE Water is really, our business is clean water production from the mining and metallurgical industries globally. So we're a company that's actually responsible for clean water production from these industries. What's really important to us is that, to our business, is that as the mining industry evolves, the requirements for clean water productions are getting tighter and tighter, or increasing, which drives our business. And what's important is that the mining industry needs to not only comply with environmental regulations and be environmentally responsible, but also socially acceptable. The two things that are really important also to our business is that it's based on innovation, true innovation, disruptive innovation in sector, and that our approach to water is holistic. So the goal of our company is to actually be a partner to the mining companies to offer single point of accountability for water from permitting all the way to closure. And the holistic approach, give you an example what it means. A lot of companies are cleaning water, but by cleaning water, you end up with clean water, but then you end up with residue that sometimes is toxic, sometimes has to be monitored in perpetuity. So in our approach to water, we try to actually recover value from waste, minimize residue, and actually end up with the product rather than waste. Also, what's important is we are global. So we have an office in, obviously here in Vancouver. We have operations across Canada, but we also have an office in Santiago, Chile, and in Hangzhou in China. Very important markets for sub-markets within mining. I guess in terms of water in mining, just for you to understand the market size and opportunity there, why is water important in mining? We may argue whether, you know, green revolution will happen, whether electrification will happen or not happen, but we all know we need mining. And I guess water is intersects all the pillars of the mining business. First of all, the vast majority of extraction of metals from deposits happens in water. So first of all, when you're mining, sooner or later you're going to hit water. Also, when you're doing mineral processing, the mineral processing relies on contact between water and the minerals. There is also a very important part, which is the regulatory environmental compliance part. And as I mentioned, that's increasing. The regulations are really expanding. The mining industry is heavily regulated, and it's not surprising why. Some of you may remember the Mount Polley failure in BC, you know, and the liability associated with that. Some of you may have registered the big failure of the tailings dam in Brumadinho in Brazil for Vale. They just settled for a couple of $1 billion. And then most recently, you've probably read in the news about the heap leach failure up in the Yukon with Victoria Gold. So the industry really is heavily regulated, and it needs to be heavily regulated, and that's driving part of our business. And finally, the social acceptability is super important. Sometimes we find that the social acceptability trumps the environmental regulation. And in that sense, what we offer to, in this particular case, is what's really important is to meet, to basically avoid reliance on dilution. So if we have technologies that allow us to meet end of pipe limits that are better than the limits that are regulated in the receiving environment, we stand in front of the communities, we stand in front of the regulators saying, this project can discharge water under any scenario because at the end of pipe, we're meeting criteria, we're not relying on dilution in receiving environment. And you would be surprised how many mining projects still today rely on dilution. So that is a major shift in the social acceptability. Likewise, you see this picture of the double-headed trout. That's a result of selenium chronic toxicity, deformation. And we deal with selenium in a manner that basically prevents this from happening. Finally, I'm very happy to say that, you know, the service that we provide, the clean water production part, is done in conjunction or in partnership with indigenous groups and local communities. So that's a very important part of our business, that we deliver the service in partnerships with indigenous groups, again, helping the social acceptability. So what makes us unique in the sector, just to understand a little bit how we make money and why we are so successful, we have unique expertise and intellectual property in key areas that are key to the mining sector, and they're heavily regulated. And you can see here there are sort of four areas, including cyanide. We probably have 90% of the cyanide recycling market worldwide, globally. Also cyanide destruction, metals, obviously a lot of companies are dealing with metals, but in our unique portfolio, we actually have projects where we recover value metals from waste for resale. So you'll see it in our financial statements, and also I'm here listing that on an annual basis, we're recovering significant tonnage of value from waste, and that is becoming, again, more important in terms of reprocessing old tailings, dealing with liability in a way that basically eliminates the long-term liability by, you know, not necessarily recovering value for profit, but recovering metals that would otherwise be a liability. So really helping with, not necessarily with revenue, but avoiding liability. Selenium, currently probably about 30% of our business. We have the only commercially ready available non-biological treatment system for selenium out there on the market. And likewise, we have intellectual property in the sulfate treatment area. These are all very important to the mining industry and, like I said, unique. So that means that most of our business, over two-thirds, are sole-sourced. We're not bidding against anyone else. The mining companies come to us to get this kind of service. And there are many other projects that are in the mining industry. There's lots of different water treatment systems out there, and the market is very large. In fact, we're not chasing a market share at all. We're just focusing on the projects where we, through our unique expertise, can actually create value for the clients. So if there are, you know, vanilla type water treatment issues, we're not even interested, because we have lots on our own plate to chase with our own intellectual property. But, you know, in over the years of existence, the company has been successful in implementing 30 treatment systems, you know, and you see the values of recovered cyanide and metals that we basically recover annually, and that's part of our business. Of course, the metals we basically give to the mining company. Likewise with cyanide, that just goes to the mining company. We just provide service, and so that business that we're building is based on recurring revenue or growing recurring revenue from cleaning water and providing these metals and cyanide back to the mining companies. Now, I guess, as I mentioned earlier, we're basically trying to become a partner to the miner from the early stages of permitting all the way to closure. So we follow mining projects throughout the life cycle, and we generate revenue throughout the life cycle of these projects. And so we do help with permitting, do feasibility study, pre-feasibility study. We do pilot testing, treatability assessments. All of that comes under the development and permitting, the initial peak here, the small peak for those are technical services, that then eventually the mining company constructs the facility, constructs the treatment plant, and we operate. So during the operation phase, operation phase of mines, the life cycle really depends on the type of mineral. So for base metal mines, it's typically between 20 and 30 years mine life. For precious metals, it's typically less than 10 years. But we're talking decades of earning basically recurring revenue from operation, where we basically charge X dollars per cubic meter that meets the discharge limits that we need to get to. We guarantee the performance as long as we operate. So if we don't meet the discharge limits, we don't get paid. And then the project goes into closure. Now, in the closure, the mine water treatment still continues, but eventually the mine needs to stop treating water ultimately to avoid treatment in perpetuity, and so eventually that stream of revenue tailors off. Now, what's really important about our business model is the alignment with the mining company. The big money we earn is from the successful deployment of our treatment systems. If you think about consulting companies, their revenue comes from the process of arriving at the solution. So their interest is to elongate that process and charge as much as possible from the process of arriving at the solution, and the moment the plant is built, they disappear. We're the opposite. We want to get to the operation as quickly as possible. So we're very much aligned with the mining company to get there through the permitting as quickly as possible. And I think that service is really well appreciated because it cuts down on the duration of the permitting process, and time is money for the miners. When you look at our financial performance, it's obviously quarter to quarter. We see some lumpiness because we have recurring revenue from operations. We also have the technical services that depend on the start and stop of certain projects. But we're very pleased with, when you look at our performance long-term on an annual basis, and here I'm listing the compounded annual growth rate, the numbers speak for themselves. And what I guess also important to highlight is that the ramp up in the profitability of the business so far has happened largely through the technical non-recurring revenue services. And those are the predictor of the future recurring revenue, right? So if we have to spend time and, the client needs us to go through all the testing and piloting and design before we start operating a treatment system. And that initial phase may take 2 to 5 years. So those technical services that we're providing today will later on translate into new recurring revenue from new operations. So this financial performance improvement has largely been done on the non-recurring part, with the recurring now increasing. And I guess, I want to conclude with the slide where I look, there's lots of talk about risks in the market and looking at companies from the risk perspective. And I think that when you look at BQE Water, we have a very solid management group. As a group, we've been together for a long time. I've been with the company now for over 20 years. And the core management group has been together for over a decade. We certainly have proven all the technologies and our business model as well, as you can see from the financials. We are, when you look at customer retention, a good example, at one operation in Canada, we've been treating water and being responsible for clean water production for 21 years already. So although the miner gives us a contract for 3 years or 5 years, they always renew so far. Knock on wood, they've always renewed. And so that's been proven as well. We are profitable, so we don't need access to capital. We're not relying on any financing, and we have a very healthy balance sheet and growing treasury that's actually giving us now an opportunity to look at some M&A potential to further grow our business. So I conclude with this, and Peter, if you want to add anything.
For people that don't know, on the, David mentioned the fact that we're the only non-biological answer to selenium, but why would anybody need a non-biological answer? And the reality is with a biological system, you basically have to be run 24/7, 365 days a year. You're not turning them on and off. And there's a lot of inadequacies in a biological system that were never able to be answered. But that particular process came from the power industry when miners had to start dealing with selenium. It was inadequate, but it was all there was. But David and the team, our technical team, knew there had to be something better. So, and that's why we ended up coming out with a non-biological answer. And our non-biological answer literally can be turned on at 9 o'clock in the morning, turned off at 5 o'clock at night, closed in November, opened again in May, as a lot of the Canadian operations do. And this has become valuable to customers out there. They understand that becomes that. And also the zero waste. We're not in a biological system. You're often changing, while you're getting the numbers of selenium down, you're actually causing another problem in a non-organic form of selenium is becoming an organic form of selenium. And that's more bioaccumulative to the fish, and that's why you're seeing deformed fish as in that picture. So the idea of saying, where it's just the first answer, the only commercially available non-biological system out there, is it's actually a lot more important, and that's why it's grown from nothing in a very few years to one third of our business. And we've built 3 plants in the US now, and a couple in Canada, and we're working on a lot more. And also on the cyanide recycling, I mean, you guys, pretty much everyone in this room understands how dangerous cyanide is. So for any miner, being able to recycle cyanide is not only is it good for them and it's good for the environment, but they have to buy less, they have to destroy less, and they often are getting the reason the cyanide is a problem for them and they can't use it again is the soluble metals in it, and they're getting the recovery of them, small amounts, but the soluble metals in it, and they're able to recycle about 80-85% of the cyanide. So I just wanted to add a bit of colour to some of the things we do and why we stand out against the competition in them areas.
Yes, we still have a bit of time. I just wanted to add a couple of more points that may be important to you as investors is, when you look at the portfolio of our clients, we're not centered around one or two companies. We probably have, at any given time, 15 clients. And those 15 clients are actually from across the commodity spectrum. So we literally have water treatment projects in gold, base metals, in uranium, in coal. We're really spread across the commodity spectrum, which is also important because sometimes the commodity cycles are not in sync. Sometimes it's the gold that's pushing the market, sometimes it's copper, but we basically play in all across the commodities. So just wanted to add that.
Yeah, no, I think it's important, and it's probably the right time now with, I don't know if we've got 10 minutes. Yeah, absolutely. So you guys got any questions? Yeah, well, wow, lots of them. Wow, where should we go first?
Here we go. I understand that during the winter months,
We do. There's certain areas, geographical areas that David's mentioned that we're already strong in, and other areas we understand that we're not, i.e. parts of Africa. But that freezing happens obviously in northern Canada, where up in Quebec and, you know, any parts of it. But where we're down in the US now, you actually get, you know, we're much more weather reliant. So it's seasonal, but in Arizona, it's seasonal when you get the rainfall, when you don't get the rainfall. So one of the things, as our business is very lumpy at the moment, and it's lumpy in both areas, both technical services and the recurring revenue. With the recurring revenue, because it's that part that gets frozen that we can't work in, and that's why our first and second quarter are notoriously weak. And also the other areas like China, where it's, it depends on rainfall for us and that. And in Arizona, it depends on rainfall. But as we get more and more projects, that will get mitigated. It will gradually smooth out. But if you invested in us today, I would say please expect the lumpiness still. You're still going to get the lumpiness. It just comes with it.
I just want to say that we've done a few projects in Australia, and the cost of doing business in Australia turned us away from it. So don't expect BQE water to be showing up in Australia. And in Africa, we realize that we really need to have, because we're responsible for the clean water production, we have to have boots on the ground. And so establishing a beachhead is really important. And Africa is not necessarily a safe place to be in many jurisdictions. So we need to be very careful. But we're not ruling out Africa, but Australia for sure.
Yeah. I will add, and I know there's more questions, is one of the things we want to do what we're good at, where we're good at it, you know, so I'm doing that. There was other questions. Anyone else? Sorry, yeah.
Yeah, the one on the cap table, I think about
1.2, yeah.
Yeah, is that the accurate number today?
Yeah, it's fine.
What's the kind of cap structure
like? At the moment, we're... if you look at 1.2 million, everybody goes, wow, you know, and about 60% of that is held by insiders, you know, and there is not a lot of liquidity in that stock as you look out there. It's improved. We started to do IR this year. We just started this year. You can see, obviously, we've created a lot of interest, and we've created a bit more liquidity, but are we going to create more liquidity by doing 10 for one or 5 for one or whatever? I don't know. I can't help thinking that, do I care if I own 10 shares or 100 shares if they're still the same percentage of the company? I don't know, but it's interesting. The liquidity we've got is obviously, you've got to look at us long term. You can't look at us short term. If you look that you're going to be reacting to one quarter to us, we're probably not the company you want to be in. But if you see the long story, if you see the potential, you know, recurring revenue or operations in the mining sector, it's unusual. We're changing the industry. The industry is used to it in municipality. They go in with their operators. But the miners are old-fashioned. No, we have our operators. But, of course, they can't operate our system. So I'm doing that out there. Sorry.
Yeah. So that happened already to us a couple of times. And yes, so we had a contract with the mining company. When the mining company went bankrupt, the liability, so there's a couple of things that happen. Now, most projects, I wouldn't say all, but most projects have financial security posted, a bond posted with the government. And so at the moment when the company goes belly up, the government actually has funds set aside to remediate. So we're paid basically at that point by the government. Yeah, so it just transitions into a government contract. We're looking for basically businesses that are accretive to what we're doing. We're not necessarily looking for acquisition in a sense of scaling up instead of doing four projects to do eight. We're looking at capturing larger scope within the four that we're doing. We're looking for businesses that are profitable on their own, and they are truly a bolt-on to our existing business. So in areas that are very complementary to our core.
We don't want to reinvent the wheel here, but there's part of the linear process, as David said, that we're we can see we're giving away money, other people getting into projects because of our technology. And we want to take a part of that, but we won't be looking to reinvent the wheel. It will be linear to what we do.
We have 1 minute left for one more question.
If you look at the fact that we've got three major shareholders own about 50% and the management own 8.5%, I welcome a hostile takeover. It's like, go for it, guys. You're not going to do it. I've spent 30 odd years doing due diligence in the investment world. I'm certainly not going to say that, oh, you know, one of the big boys is going to come in and take us. But have we had sniffing around us? Yes, we have. And we tell them quite clearly, don't even think about it today. Don't even think about it. You're not going to get away with it. You know, we didn't build this to sell it tomorrow. We built this, you know, to be... We're obviously going to organically grow it, but we're not going to not do M&A if it's the right M&A. And there is a point. We're either going to eat or be eaten. That is going to happen. You know, we understand that. We don't have the muscle power to do 10 or 15 projects into operations a year. You know, financial people say, what if I gave you tens of millions, you could do 10 a year? No, because we don't have the muscle power in these geographical regions to be able to put the operating team in there. So realistically, we can go, we're currently running at 2, getting into operations a year. We can comfortably see how to get to 4 or 5, but we're not going to get to 10 or 15. But there is companies that can get to 10 or 15 to tomorrow with that technology, you know, so... to look at, but even 4 or 5 on that recurring revenue and that kind of money, this makes this a very valuable company.
Thank you everyone.
Please feel free if you have further questions to come up and ask us.